We are on our way to Romans 10, and with a quick stop in Romans 1, head to Romans 10 with me if you would. Romans 1, if you remember this summer, had three convicting things. I found them convicting from Paul about the gospel. Romans 1, 14, and then look into Romans 10. 10 of our finest from North Avenue just got back from Kentucky, missions conference there, and many are even more inspired now to go to out into the world and to proclaim the gospel. It's the rest of our job to send them, and then also it's our job from this passage to continue to tell everybody about the gospel, and that's what we want to do. But I'm so excited about and thankful for the 10 of you, and we want to be more like you in our missions mindedness for sure. This passage will help us there, I think. Remember, Paul says in verse 14 in chapter 1, before he gets to what Romans is really all about in the theme in 16 and 17, he says, I am under obligation both to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and to the foolish. So he is under obligation to preach the gospel. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are Rome. He's under obligation. He's eager to preach the gospel. And then finally he says he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. If you go to chapter 10, I think he continues this idea now to say every single person is eligible to believe the gospel. Stott says four things that we need for salvation. First of all, we need to believe in the historical Jesus. Secondly, we need to hear the word of faith, which is the gospel. We're going to see that. And then we need to, the hearers need to trust. And then finally, in the part we're talking about here specifically today, is we need to have people go and tell them. They can't hear unless we tell them, and they can't tell them unless someone sends someone to tell them. And so in verse 9, this is the familiar part. Let's start there. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That should make us super excited, because we got to go tell them that. Because otherwise, how are they going to call on the name of the Lord if they can't, if they haven't heard? And this is where he launches into four really, really good questions. Somewhat convicting, but really exciting as well. Look at verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? Makes sense. Can't call on him unless they believed. How can they believe in him if they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And so we must, in backwards order there, send people so they can preach, so they can hear, so they can believe, and they can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. That's the order. If we go the negative route, we would say, if no one sends them, no one will preach. If they're not preaching, they can't hear. The unbeliever can't hear. If they can't hear, if they haven't heard, they can't believe, and then they can't call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It is our job. We've seen how God is sovereign in election, but we also see that he is sovereign in the means, and he has chosen to use us in that process. And then he goes on to say, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Are your feet beautiful? That's kind of personal, and we kind of know the answer physically to that question, but do you have the beautiful feet that are taking the gospel to those that need it? But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That is how people come to faith, by hearing the gospel. The question is, Are we going? Are we sending people to go? And are we going to preach the gospel so that they can hear, so they can believe, so they can call on the name of the Lord to be saved? Paul is pretty persuasive with one more passage. I won't ask you to turn there, but it's in 2 Corinthians 5. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is amazing to me. That never gets old to me. We have the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. How amazing is it that God does not count our trespasses against us, but instead he counted them against Jesus. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is our Father's house. Ian's going to remind us of that as we go before the Lord. Because this is our Father's house, let's go tell people about his Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Are we doing that faithfully in our jobs, in our family, everywhere we go? That's what this is about. Let's pray, and I'll give you a minute to confess that possibly that sin of omission that that I know I deal with every day. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I read this passage and it makes complete sense. But yet, tomorrow I know the battle will be implementing this and sending people to preach so that people can hear, so that they can believe, so that they can call on your name and be saved. That's how we were saved. Somebody told us the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we would not be slow in doing that for those that need the gospel. Everybody, Lord, that we see, we pray that we would be quicker and we would be more bold, we'd be more eager, that we would feel the obligation. We have no monopoly on the gospel. Father, you have given it to us. You have gripped our hearts so that we can share it with others, and we pray that we would faithfully do that. I thank you for the group. Just got back from Kentucky that is now newly inspired to do this across the world. Lord, we pray that North Avenue would be a sending church, that we would be a church that continually shares the gospel with our lives and with our words in such a way that we make the teaching of our Savior attractive. Lord, this is your world, and we pray that we would not lose sight of that or track of that, but instead we would rejoice in that daily by sharing the gospel with others. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, that while we were yet sinners would die for us. We thank you for taking even the sin of omission, as we each probably would admit to now, taking that for us, that you made him who had no sin to become sin for us, that we may become your righteousness. We're forever grateful in Jesus' name.